Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's known as the love chapter of the Bible. And we're just going to take an illustration that Paul uses in his argument about the supremacy of charity. But I'll give you a chance to get there. Some of you did really well with the song tonight. And you can tell, as I'm standing up here, some of you didn't go to Sunday school as children and learn those songs. And some of you are dyslexic. You don't know which way is which. So we'll have to do that again. So we'll pick up a few people as we do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, Paul is arguing or compelling the Corinthians to grow up spiritually because they were immature. Some of them were proud. Some of them were divisive or divided. Some of them, had issues of putting themselves before others and not considerate of others. So as he talks about the gifts that God has given the church, he says, if you're going to be mature, then what you do in the church should be with love. But he uses the illustration of children, and he makes a statement that everyone would agree with. I would think everybody would agree with. You know, as a child, you do childish things. You don't expect a child to be an adult. They're a child. Now, sometimes a child does act a little more mature for their age, but they're still a child. You have to remember that. So as a child, you talk like a child. You understand through the eyes of a child. You think like a child. And the older you get, the more you should grow up and respond. And there are times when people get older, they should be an adult and act responsibly, and they're still immature. In a lot of ways, they act like a child. So I titled the message, Acting Your Age. But I'm going to talk about youth and the importance of our young people. There's a time of life that's formative for every human being. It is their youth. It has bearing on their future. What kind of childhood they experience, their relationships, as to who they are and their circumstances of life from their experience, it will have a profound impact on who they are as an adult. Decisions they make, whether they be good choices or bad, learning how to take a stand or to compromise, developing initiative or being lazy, all of those are instilled in a young person that carry through to adulthood. Some of those are learned behaviors. Some of those are tendencies. It's part of a personality. But as a child, you expect a child to act a certain way. But as they grow up, a lot of the behavior that takes place in a child and their development determines where they're going to be in the future. So we can never overemphasize too much the value of good parenting and teaching and training and disciplining children. But tonight, for children, I can't express how important it is for you to realize what the Bible says about your future and that you can determine where you will be in the future. Think about David. As a young man, probably a teenager, even maybe younger than a teenager, he learned dependability. He watched his father's flock. Now, it's not a real exciting thing to just sit there and follow sheep. You know, I've been there. We raised some sheep. It's not exciting. It's not like some big video game where, you know, things are crashing and nothing's going on. You just sit there and watch. But ever so often, something happens. So David honed some of his skills. There's no doubt He practiced his music when he was there. It was a little awkward carrying a piano, so he used a harp. So he practiced playing on his harp, and he learned certain cultural things, even out watching the sheep. He learned some skill with a sling. He was able to kill those intruders, a wild beast, trying to take animals from the flock. So he became skilled. He gained courage. When you think about Daniel as probably a teenager, a young man, he was a promising young man. He had no doubt great intellect. He was good looking, had a lot of talent, but a young man. He's taken away from his family, his country, into Babylon. And while there, he takes a stand and he says, I'm not going to follow what the Babylonians do. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. So he developed something in his life. He had a backbone. He had courage. He did not follow the crowd. He learned how to stand alone. So there are numerous things we could say about children. We could think of Samuel. And as a young lad, even in the environment of Eli's sons, who were wicked, Samuel learned to do right and became a great man of God. He probably learned that at home in some of those formative years, even before and during he's in the house of Eli. So what are some of those things the Bible talks about for young people? Now, I was going to start with this, so I'm going to go back to it. Just get everybody in the mood. Everybody's gotten a little serious all of a sudden. In high school chapel last week, I gave some illustrations. Some of you don't know what this is, but when you text, there's something called autocorrect. And what that means, for those who don't understand this terminology, you're typing in or swiping or speaking, whatever, a message. And as you put that message in your text, the computer's smarter than you. And it thinks, here's what you meant. And it'll substitute a word in. And you don't know that it did it. You think you put in the right word and you send the message, and then suddenly you realize it didn't send what I typed. It changed the word. And I'm not going to give you all these, but just to show how this could be very embarrassing. A wife sent a happy birthday greeting to her husband. Happy birthday, dead husband. And he said, I assume you meant dear husband, not dead husband. It substituted the word dead for dear. That's a big mistake. And worse mistakes have been made, believe me. So you have to be careful. But also, when we do a church bulletin, you have to be careful. It's not as easy as you think. And, you know, anyone who puts the bulletin together, people, with enough people, they'll find the mistake. And they make sure that you're aware of it. They come and tell you. And so they keep track of these things. So here are some of the mistakes. Church announcements gone bad. And I'm telling you, Mark will find them if you don't see them. Here they are. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. 'Thursday night potluck supper. Prayer and medication to follow. That's not a good... That was bad. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. Poor grammar. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. I don't know how you could not know you have children, but... At the evening service tonight, this is for Mr. Winningham. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Okay, Mrs. McGann for missionaries. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church in Racine. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. Sunday See, you should make sure you listen in English class, especially punctuation. I mean, commas can do a lot of damage, or lack of them. Today, the pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, "Break Forth into Joy." Miss Charlene Mason sang, "I Will Not Pass This Way Again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. It's hard to put together a bulletin. It really, you have to be careful. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. The sermon this morning, Jesus Walks on the Water. The sermon tonight, Searching for Jesus. They didn't quite go together. Next Thursday will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. So, anybody want to put in the bulletin, any announcements, make sure you're careful. You know, write it out, put commas and punctuation marks where they belong. So, we go back to our message now. Everybody's not so serious, but you know the importance of youth and training and responding. Learning as a young person how to believe God is so important. And you see so many young people that even if they grow up in a Christian home, it's no guarantee they follow. You know, it's an amazing thing to see children grow up in a Christian home and go on and serve God and live for God. And that's the way it always should be. But young people have to understand it must be their convictions. You have to develop certain things in your own life. So what does the Bible say to children? Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." In Ephesians 6:1 it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And you say, well, of course, you know, we hear that all the time. But I want you to think about that for a second. What if a child becomes disobedient to parents? Or what if they don't listen to their parents? You know, it starts at an early age. Children, even at a very early age, you know, they start touching stuff that they're going to break. They'll do things they ought not to be doing. And you warn them, where you'll say, "Come here, I don't want you going over there." And if they don't come, you know, you've already set a precedent. They're not listening. They're not listening to their parents. They're not obeying their parents. Children have to learn to obey their parents. Why is that? Because all the rest of their life, it sets a precedent. If they don't obey their parents, who are they going to listen to? They're not going to listen to anybody. They're going to do what they want to do, and they think the world owes them a living. So it is a really important thing to just learn to obey your parents. When your parents ask you to do something, just do it. And parents, you ought to teach your children to do that. So I'm not sure how to do it. We'll help you. We'll show you how. The Bible gives us help and shows us how. The children learn to obey your parents. Do what they tell you to do. Follow their instructions. Respond to what they tell you to do. It will go a long way in your future. And if you fail to learn to obey your parents, if you become rebellious against your parents, it's to your detriment. Somehow it catches up to you. It causes problems later in your life, and you'll regret that. You can always tell if somebody's learned that behavior in the home, they're respectful and they obey their parents. You can see it in adulthood. Everybody would hire every person they could find that learns that principle. You know, you won't have a problem getting a job because you've learned to obey those in authority. Secondly, the Bible says, honor your parents. If you're not in Ephesians, turn there now. Ephesians 6 and verse 2. This is also found, of course, in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, also repeated in Deuteronomy. In Ephesians 6:2, it says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So of all the other commandments, they didn't have a promise like this one. This one has a promise that goes along with it. What is a promise? That it may be well with thee. Now, who wouldn't want that? You say, I don't want things to go well, and I want my life to be miserable. No, nobody wants that. We all want life to go well. We want to be happy. We'll honor your parents. Respect them. Remember when they have a birthday. Let them know you appreciate what they do for you, what they have done for you. Now, as a child growing up, it's a little hard. Until someday you get married and have children, suddenly you get a new respect for your parents. And you start thinking, did they do all that for me? You know, it's not easy to be a parent. In a college class, we talked about having family rules for your home. And for the first time, they had to start thinking, wait a minute, I've never thought about being in charge and have to determine what's right and wrong. You know, it's a whole different ballgame. If we only learn this as a young person, to honor our parents, be thankful for them, respect them, speak well of them, give them honor where honor is due. Why? Well, it's going to be well with you. Secondly, you may live long on the earth. By not honoring your parents, it could cut short your life. By not honoring your parents, you may get caught up in some things of this world that take away years off of your life. So honor your parents that it may be well with you and that your years may be long on the earth. And verse 4 says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we need to allow God to admonish us through the Word of God. So learn Scripture, memorize it, allow it to sink into your heart. Don't just say, well, why do you do this? Well, my parents said I have to. Why do you go to church? My parents said I've got to go. Let God admonish you. What's God say? Does He want you to be there? Is that what He wants you to do? So children ought to be admonished by the Word of God. Let God determine what's right and wrong. And somewhere along the way, as you're growing up, as you're developing things, you have to let God direct you. And you develop what's called personal convictions. This is what I'm going to do because I believe that's what God says. I like what the first point of the principles in the RU program. If God's against it, so am I. I think that's a very good point. If God's against it, then I'm against it because I'm for the Bible. I'm for God. So honor your parents. But we know the Bible talks about the sins of youth. It distinguishes the sins of youth from the sins of those that are older. That doesn't mean that older people can't sin, but there are sins unique to young people. There are things that are temptation or things that you are susceptible to. Turn with me to Proverbs, because we'll read a couple of verses here. Proverbs 20:20. Proverbs 20:20, and then we'll go to Proverbs 29 and verse 15. First Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. So the sin of a youth would be to curse father and mother, rebel, reject. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When a child is allowed to do whatever he wants, gives no guidance from parents, he needs spiritual guidance. He needs help. And if he doesn't get it, he'll bring his parents to shame. So you leave a child himself, there's not much hope for them. They need instruction. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not... Okay, he'll not depart from it. So a child needs to learn. A child needs instruction. And a child left to himself, that's a serious thing. So you have to be careful. Leaving children alone, letting them go different places, you don't know where they're at or what they're doing, that's a pretty serious thing. know where they are, know what they're doing, know who their friends are. You say, well, you know, I respect their right of privacy. They have no privacy. It's your home. You pay the bills. A son asked Bill Cosby, the comedian, he said, Dad, are we rich? And he responded, no. He said, your mother and I are rich. You're not. You're not. You don't have anything. You know, and that's your home. You have every right. You need to know what they're doing. They need to be open. So a rod and reproof give wisdom. They need instruction and direction and so on. Psalm 25 and verse 7. Psalm 25 and verse 7. Just back a little bit from where you are. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. There are some things that children can go through and experience, in some cases even prematurely, that mark them or influence them for the rest of their life. And a friend, a cousin, a neighbor gets involved, gives them that first ring. We heard Brother Ryan Giles was just with us. He was very young, 11 years of age. And someone at church gave him pot. That's where it started. And then heroin and so on. You know, in the sins of the youth, we're susceptible to that. We don't see the danger of it. And as a young person, you don't know where it's leading. And habits can be developed at that young age that are hard to break, hard to change. So there are certain things that young people are susceptible to. Now, look, parents, you can't protect them from everything. You can't protect them totally from themselves. You can give them instruction. You can follow the Bible. But there are some things you've got to protect them from. You know, and certain worldly things. I mean, you can't protect from everything. But there needs to be direction for them. And they need to learn to be aware and be discerning and determine who their friends should be or not be. What they should read or not read. What they should watch or not watch. What games they should play or not play. So there are sins of youth that they are very susceptible to. They're very impressionable. Some children are followers, and if they get around the wrong people, they'll do everything that other person does without ever thinking about the consequences. How many young people have lost their lives because they got in a car with someone who had been partying and drinking or on drugs? Supposedly, Lenny Bias, who was drafted by the Boston Celtics, supposedly it was the first time he ever took drugs. He was drafted that night. They had a big party and overdosed on drugs. So you have to be careful. There are sins of the youth where you're susceptible. And, you know, parents have to watch out for that. But young people, be careful. Don't be around the wrong things. Don't play with the wrong things. Don't experiment with things that are dangerous. There are sins of the youth. I think sometimes this would be awkward and be hard, but sometimes I wish there are some people in our church could just stand in the pulpit and warn young people and say, I want to tell you how some of the sins of my youth have damaged my life or my marriage or how that has affected me. And to listen to them. I mean, if you could only see that as a young person and spare yourself from that, what a blessing that would be. So there are the sins of the youth. And then also there is Satan seeking to destroy young men and women. Satan is after young people. They're a target. Because if he can influence them while they're young, it won't be hard to turn them away from the gospel as they get older. 1 Timothy 5:14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Do you hear that? Satan sometimes can enter in to a person's life. I didn't mean the phone. I meant sometimes Satan enters in to a young person and influences their life, and they don't even know it. If you go to youth prison, those guys have no idea how they ended up where they are, really. How did I get here? And most of them aren't even thinking about it. They're just waiting until they get out, and they don't know where they're headed. They'll be back in prison when they get out. They don't think about that. Why, Satan's got them right where he wants them. They think they're strong, powerful, cool, whatever you want to say. And they don't realize they are a captive and a slave to their sin and to their life. Why? Satan's done that to them. He manipulated them and deceived them, and they don't even know it. So, yeah, the younger women ought to bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary. Don't allow or give an opportunity for Satan to come in. Do what God wants you to do with your life. Don't let Satan enter in. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. But I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So we have, the young men have to beware. The wicked one, Satan, or satanic influence, can take you away down a path that you don't want to go. And so, young people, youth, children, young men, teenagers, beware. Satan could come in and deceive you. I suppose in any church, youth group, Christian school, any Christian environment, you'll find someone. They sit in the back. They snicker, they sneer. While no one is watching or they don't think anyone's watching, they make fun of what you're doing. And they think they're really cool. They are headed in the wrong direction. And they think they're cool. They think it's good. They think they're somebody. And yet somewhere in their mind and heart, they're confused, misdirected. And Satan has twisted their mind. They're lifted up with pride. He's got them right where he wants them. They're not going to be free. They're not going to be at liberty. They're captive. Satan will be out after young people to destroy their lives. And young people are susceptible to certain things, certain influences. When a scorner comes along, the Bible says, smite a scorner that others may fear. When someone scorns the things of God, there are always some that get attracted to that. They say, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that, who do my parents think they are? When I was growing up, they had, as a teenager, they had something called, and the thing of the day was called the generation gap. I don't know if you heard of that. I'm sure people my age, there's this generation gap. Now, probably the gap is here, but they had this idea of the 60s that, well, the old people, they don't really know what young people are going through, and they're not up with it. And, you know, they just, it's the same thing today. They just call it something else. It's the same thing. It's disrespectful to the Word of God. And people get the idea, parents don't know anything. What do they know? Don't you have a family album? Can't you see in the family album they were young one time? You know, it's hard to comprehend, but that they face the same temptations that you faced as a teenager? Can't you figure that out? Doesn't that make sense? And if they've been, as they say in the country, I've been around the house, I know what's on the other side. They have some experience that will be beneficial, that will help you. We need to realize there are sins of the youth, and we have to be on guard, be careful. It's much easier to help someone to be spared from tragedy than it is to pull them out of some tragedy. And here's what the Bible says you should do. Put God first while you're young. Make him first. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Look, there are people in this church and probably every church, they've lived a rough life, a tough life. And God delivered them. They're a trophy of grace. It's amazing how God worked in their life. What's hard to comprehend is there are young people that want what that person's delivered from. Then they want to go out and live that way when this person is delivered from it. I don't want people to go through everything I experienced as a young person without being saved. And yet, there are some, they're looking out the window. They're just hoping, they're waiting for that day. They're out of the Christian school, out of their Christian home, out of church, so they can go somewhere and really find out what life's all about. Can I help you a little bit? I've been there. You don't want what's there. You're not missing anything. What you see on TV is not real. Now, that may be hard to comprehend. Everything on Google is not accurate. That's hard to comprehend, but sometimes Satan's put those lies on there. Be careful. Remember your Creator in the days of youth. Put God first. Determine you're going to lead your youth group. Determine you're going to encourage other young people to serve God. And if you say, you know, I want a car, then you want a car so you can bring people to church, not so you go out and cruise and drive around. And you want to find friends and young people you bring to Christ. Say, oh, you know, come on, preacher. You know, look, I think you can have fun as a young person. You should. You're a child, you can have fun as a child. My father had a lot of fun. What they did for fun, they would get one of those steel rings off a barrel, and they'd get a stick and they'd roll it down the street. A lot of fun. I'd go out to the barn, my grandfather would be milking the cows, and I'd walk in, he'd start squirting me. Well, he had a lot of fun. But a lot of times, people go beyond just having fun. It becomes rebellion. I'm for baseball and basketball and sports and playing checkers and chess. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can do. You can run, be athletic, you want to lift weights and, you know, all that stuff. That's fine. That's great. A child ought to do stuff like that. But he ought not to be caught up in the things of the world. Remember thy Creator. Put God first. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So remember him in your youth. Don't let people look at you as immature. Learn to grow up a little bit and be responsible. Lamentations 3:27 says, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. I don't believe in child labor. I think my father did, but I don't believe in it. But I believe in it a little bit. And you know what? I think our culture does a disservice. We tell children, oh, you can't work. You can't do that. You're too young. You're not, you know, this is awful. Parents make you work. And then all of a sudden we wonder why everybody then have a job. I mean, they need to learn how to work. They don't have to work 40 hours or 80 hours, 100 hours a week. But they ought to learn how to do stuff. They learn how to work. I was maybe 3 or 4 years old. We were tearing, we'd build a new house, and the old house was there. They could just tear it down. And I saw what everybody's doing, so I ran out there. I climbed up in the rafters, and I'm 3 or 4 years old, and I'm knocking that wood lath off the ceiling till my mother found me. But what are you doing up there? Get down from there. I mean, they have a picture of me. I had to be maybe 1 and a half or something like that. Still in a diaper. I'm halfway up the ladder with a hammer and shingles. You wonder why I am like I am? That's why. You learn to bear some of that in your youth. You know, there are things that you have to learn while you're young. And if a child never learns to do anything, and as my kids would tell you, they're not here, but they would tell you, we thought of things. We created jobs. You know, we had a lawnmower that it was, you had to fix and repair constantly. You couldn't mow one time without having to fix it. And one day, I think it was Jonathan, was all disgusted. He said, why don't we get a new lawnmower? I said, we will as soon as you leave. But it was for their benefit. And I don't know if they have endearing thoughts of that, but they appreciate learning to bear the yoke in the youth. I think that's important. Don't be afraid to do some work. You know, learn how to bake or cook or clean a house. You know, there's more to it than just making your bed, clean your room, and take the trash out. And so there are things you can learn to do. And then finally, turn with me to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 and verse 3. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Notice now, verse 4. "That they may teach the young women." So the older women teach the younger women to be sober. That doesn't just mean to be not drunk, but to be serious minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And that's just as relevant today as it was when it was written. Verse 6, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Psalm 127, in verse 4, the whole chapter talks about the family. But verse 4 says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." If you know anything about archery, you have to pull back the arrow, you aim at the target, and you let it fly, and hopefully you hit the target. With children, you aim them in a certain direction. You aim them toward a target. Rather than letting them be to themselves and left to themselves, you point them in a direction. Children, teenagers, young adults, it's important, the decisions you make now, the character you develop, the things you learn will determine your future. If you don't have a job but you know how to work, I'm not concerned. You'll get a job. But if you have a job and you don't know how to work, then you'll probably be unemployed at some point. If you have the ability to do right and honor God, He's going to bless you with a good life, a blessed life, and perhaps a long life. It's important as young people, as children, as teens, as young adults, the decisions you make now will determine where you are tomorrow. Let's bow for prayer tonight.